The following Cruise Addicts talk show is a production of Cruise Radio. Consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? I'm Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Don't forget, we have an app. Just search Cruise Radio Live in your smartphone app store. You can also check us out at facebook.com/Cruise Radio. Lots of pretty pictures there. As we kick off the show every week, it's Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy, found at cruiseguy.com. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug. It is great to be here. I hope you're well. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, man. So, Norwegian getaway, signed, sealed, and delivered, eh?
She got away. They did the signing today. The Meyerwerf Shipyard handed over the keys and the owner's manuals to Kevin Sheehan and his team. And they got the ship out of there. So they left Bremerhaven, and they're on their way to Southampton for the festivities over there. So certainly a very big day for Norwegian Cruise Line.
And the first revenue cruise will be when?
It'll be the Transatlantic on January 16th.
Gotcha.
Going from Southampton to New York. It'll stay there for the Super Bowl and then head down to Miami, and she'll do her overnight naming ceremony at the Port of Miami on the 7th, and her first revenue cruise into the Caribbean from her home port, it'll be on February 8th.
Very good. And speaking of new ships, what's the progress on Royal Caribbean's upcoming Quantum of the Seas?
Well, as you know, she will be the most technologically designed ship ever devised.
Yeah.
And it's just, so many people are just so excited to see it. But currently, they released a video, which I think you could find at cruiseradio.net, where people can catch up on the latest and greatest of Quantum of the Seas development. The latest video shows what they're doing over there in Germany as far as creating mock-ups. So now the design phase is really, coming away where the executives can actually see the designs of the ship in full scale. So this way they can make whatever last-minute adjustments they need to make with the current cabins, the public spaces, so they can make adjustments to make sure that this ship is nothing but perfect.
This ship's going to have virtual balconies?
Yeah, they'll have virtual balconies on some of the inside cabins. So instead of looking at a wall or a fake window, you'll have a virtual balcony. So it'll be like a video screen, which we showed back in April when they debuted it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also be on Navigator of the Seas when she comes out from refurbishment. And you'll be able to see out or look out as if you had your own balcony from an inside cabin. Very cool.
Yeah, and Disney has what, the virtual portholes?
Exactly.
Yeah, gotcha. And another big milestone here, a very, very happy birthday to the Queen Mary II, correct?
Yeah, it's very exciting. Cunard Line is celebrating Queen Mary II's 10th year. It's amazing. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years, but she certainly has traveled around the world and back. Very popular on her world cruises and her transatlantics and different sailings. But I think in her 10 years, they said she carried 1.3 million passengers and over 20,000 dogs.
You know what I learned I think it was about a year ago, I learned that the drummer from Blink 182, because he doesn't fly anymore after his plane crash, he actually, if he's doing a tour in Europe, he'll take the Queen Mary over during his tour.
There's actually a lot of people that do that. The ship has a lot of celebrities that go to and from. James Taylor is another musician who likes to use the Queen Mary too. But a lot of people, they just instead of rushing over there, they'll just lollygag to or from on Queen Mary II or a lot of the transatlantics. But there's something to a lot of people that enjoy the history of being on a Cunard ship and doing that sailing.
Speaking of Queen Mary II, Stuart, that picture you tweeted was pretty cool of all that snow on her.
Can you imagine that? I mean, that looked like a snowplow just went on the promenade deck to clear the area. But that was actually the promenade deck of Queen Mary II, and it looked like it had about a good 6 inches of snow on it.
I saw another photo like 2 weeks ago. I think it was Carnival Splendor in New York or something like that, or maybe it was Pride in Baltimore. But, yeah, it was stacked with snow, too.
I've seen pictures of Norwegian Gem from years ago where, the ship arrived with about 6 feet of snow on it. And, I saw a picture of of someone who opened up their balcony door and it was just solid snow. I mean, it does snow in New York or in the area. And, you know, the nice thing is you'll be off the coast of the Carolinas, but, you know, going to and from, it's cold. But it's a great way not to have to worry about, if you live up in the Northeast, Doug, it's great not to have to worry about, you know, getting on a plane that could be delayed. And that's why a lot of people do choose to cruise in the winter out of New York versus, you know, hopping on a plane, because this way they don't have to worry about the weather being a factor.
Very true. It looks like a new cruise terminal going to be built in Port Canaveral. Where is it going to be and how big is it going to be?
Well, it's going to be on, I believe it's going to be on the south side. My prediction, Doug, is that in 2015, Royal Caribbean will redeploy Oasis or Allure of the Seas. I think it's going to be Oasis up to Canaveral.
And that's not official yet, though, is it?
No, it is not official. It's just my prediction.
Sure.
As they're going to get ready for the arrival of Anthem of the Seas in the fall, or, you know, let's say the late fall of 2015. So in this way, they can use Terminal 18, which is the, you know, the large cruise terminal there.
I got to say, though, in the past 4 years of us doing this together, your predictions have always been pretty much right on.
Well, I try to be accurate.
Right.
That's why it's great to listen to Cruise Radio.
Looks like the passengers arriving to Galveston and Houston are going to be charged a new tax. What's this all about?
Well, it looks like the government's going to be charging import taxes on your alcohol and cigarette purchases that you made duty-free on the ship or while in port. So, you know, there probably isn't going to be any advantage to buying alcohol or cigarettes on the cruise if you're not going to drink it or smoke it on the cruise. So, you know, I remember back in the day when people used to bring back, I mean, huge containers or cartons full of liquor and cigarettes, you know, let's say out of St. Thomas. You just don't see that anymore. And, I mean, I think it's going to take a big bite out of cruise line revenue, you know, because they're not going to sell anything on board the ship if you're going to wind up, you know, coming off it. First of all, I also think it may wind up hurting, you know, people, you know, Galveston and Houston, where, I mean, you may wind up in maybe another year, have cruise passengers that, you know what, we don't want to sail out of Galveston because it was just an unpleasant experience getting stuck with, you know, having to pay $20, $30, $40, stand in more long lines when we got off the ship. And so what will happen is, I mean, it's not going to impact a lot, but you're going to find cruise passengers, you know, having to get stuck in a line. It just makes the overall experience less pleasant. And the ratings for Houston and Galveston will probably suffer as a result.
Well, my question is, okay, so Houston is paying the cruise lines to come there anyway. So
they're paying marketing fees.
Yeah, but why screw the passengers over then? Is that more of a state thing or a local thing?
It is a state thing. So, I'm not sure that they really thought it through or they really don't care. But I think what's going to happen is you're going to find the passenger satisfaction ratings in Galveston and Houston are going to suffer. And you may, you know, right now, I mean, it's like, you know, Houston's just getting in, you know, getting back into the game after not having a ship there since, what, 2007, 2006. So it really could cause them to suffer. I mean, because essentially if the cruise revenues are down or the passenger satisfaction ratios are down, they're going to take that ship. They're going to have to put it somewhere else because the pricing that they're going to get on the ships will drop.
Very interesting. And of course, it is January, and it is wave season. So for our listeners who may not be, may not be informed of what wave season is, can you explain it to us?
Yeah, long and short, Doug. Wave season used to be, I mean, we really haven't seen a wave season since 2001. So essentially, Doug, what we used to see is by the end of March, 75% of that calendar year's bookings will have been made. But what's happened is that you have certain itineraries like Alaska and Europe, which take a little bit, they have a much longer booking window. So you have people that are booking a year out in order to, make sure they can get cheap airfares, you know, get their upgrades on their flights, both, to Alaska and to Europe. So people are booking in a much, you know, more distant manner. But, I mean, you will find that there's going to be a lot of people that are booking for cruises like now. You know, they want to get away now because of the cold weather. I mean, we're having some, you know, incredibly cold weather. I mean, I think today the average, you know, across the country was about 27 degrees. While down here in South Florida, it's about 76 degrees. People are like, oh, my God, we have to get away. And the fastest way and the least, you know, the most cost-effective way as usual, is a cruise.
Well, most recently we had the polar vortex sweep through the states. Are we seeing an increase of bookings because of all this extremely cold weather?
Yes, I think the cruise lines are pleasantly surprised that there's going to be a stronger booking window at this point, because people are looking to get away. They want to get away now. So, I mean, any availability that they're going to be able to find. Pleasantly, there's more ships, so there's more options, and more options means lower prices. But, there is going to be a stronger, I think, January than what we've probably seen over the past 2 years.
Well, we need it.
We sure do.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
My pleasure.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being, and they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com.
We always love hearing about your cruise experiences. If you have one you'd like to share, just email us comments@cruiseradio.net, and we'd love to get you on. Our next guest is no stranger to Cruise Radio. In fact, we had her on reviewing the Norwegian Breakaway a few months ago. She just recently returned on Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas. She is the editor of tripwitch.com, Teresa Russell. Welcome back to Cruise Radio, Teresa.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Good, good. Let's talk all about the world's largest cruise ship, Allure of the Seas. So let's back up and go before the cruise. So what made you want to cruise on Allure?
Actually, I had wanted to go on the Allure just because it is the biggest ship by about 2 inches, I believe. It's bigger than the Oasis.
Right.
But a group of my friends were traveling, and they asked me to join them. And I debated about it. Then it turned out I had to be in Fort Lauderdale. And I asked them if there was still space with their group, and indeed there was, so I joined their group.
So you get down to Fort Lauderdale, you get to Terminal 18, which they say at Terminal 18, the embarkation is really, really fast, and it's like from the pier to the ship in 10 minutes. But I'll let you tell us, how was embarkation at Terminal 18?
Well, I'll be honest and tell you that the group I was with, they all got through quickly. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't board until about 2 p.m.
Okay.
But they all boarded earlier, and they said it was very efficient. When I went there, it was almost a ghost town in the terminal.
Uh-huh.
But I could see how it would go quickly because there are so many stations where you can check in, and I believe it was organized by which deck you were on.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of sense.
I want to say they have like 90 check-in terminals there or something like that.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's insanely fast. So you get on Allure of the Seas, and what were your first impressions?
I was impressed by its size, although I knew it was huge to actually be there in the space. It was really overwhelming for me, honestly. I guess I had never imagined what a monstrosity it was.
Yeah, you just walk on the ship, and for me, it was like sensory overload because you have all these restaurants. It looks like you're like walking in the Mall of America or something.
My sentiments, exactly. I felt like I was in a mall, and as far as the sensory overload, I was really overwhelmed with options on the ship.
Yeah,
which that's an excellent thing for somebody who, you know, doesn't necessarily want to have to worry about planning their activities day by day. They're almost right in your face. No matter where you turn, there's something to do, something to eat, something to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And so you made your way through the main area there and up to your stateroom. So first off, what kind of stateroom did you have? And secondly, what did you think of it?
Like I said, I joined late, so there weren't many options, so I did have an inside.
Okay.
I was really impressed by how it was laid out. There was a lot of space, and I admit that my roommate was very kind and let me have most of the space.
Okay.
But there was plenty of space for two people. Lots of storage. It was efficiently laid out. The bathroom was efficient, and the size of the stateroom was adequate for two of us. We never, you know, crowded each other out.
What deck were you on?
I was on 14.
Is that just the all stateroom deck, or is there activities on deck 14 too?
On 14, there were a few activities. I know the card room and internet center was there. On 14, they had a small space, and that was where their hosted internet.
So relatively quiet then.
It was relatively quiet on that deck. At the other end is all the children's activities and clubs.
Very cool. So let's talk about my favorite thing on Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas, and that is the food. So many options, like I think 24 restaurants on there. So kind of break it down. What did you think of the food, and where did you eat on your seven-day voyage?
Mostly ate in the Adagio. We had early seating and the fixed dining, which is pretty new for me. I usually try to get the as-you-like dining option where I can go eat whenever I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a buffet person, and it took me until the last day of the cruise to actually try out the buffet. The food there was very good, as was the other food I had. I do like to try the little options like the hot dog stand in the boardwalk. That was always good for a quick bite to eat. The Cafe Promenade, I think that's virtually undiscovered.
That's the one with the finger foods and the sandwiches and stuff right there in the main promenade?
Yeah, they had the best roast beef sandwiches ever. And they had a really nice mix of ingredients to make a good salad. And they have cookies up there. That was a real quiet place.
Well, let's talk about the entertainment on board, because a lot of folks say you've got to book your entertainment before you sail. Now, you were a late joiner to this crew, so did you luck out on anything as far as the entertainment goes?
I lucked out on everything, because when I first booked, there were some shows that were not available.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I got into every show. They did become available, so I got into every show. And I did a show almost every night, except for the last one, I believe.
Do they have, like, a standby line?
Yes, you could go at the end. And some of the shows, they didn't even look at your key card, your room key is what you show. They just scooted us in at the end after a certain time.
What shows did you see?
You can wait and see if it's full.
Right.
And still get in.
Very cool. And what shows did you see?
I saw Chicago, which was excellent. At the Aqua Theater, there's Oceanaria, and that was exciting. That's with the high divers. It's a little scary because there's that platform that moves up and down, and during the day, during the day, you can walk across this area, and for the shows, it's a pool. I guess I was a little bit skeptical of that working, and I personally would never high dive anyway, whether that moved up or down or not.
Right.
But those shows were really exciting. And we actually had the captain and the hotel director when they had the Crown and Anchor gathering.
Mm-hmm.
They did a little routine kind of mocking one of the shows there. Right. It was pretty funny. They were doing aerobics and imitating the Hungarian acrobats. And then besides that, I also saw the ice show, which is
right.
Ice games.
Yeah.
And it introduces you to all the different areas of the ship, which I thought was a clever way to do that.
That's right.
What else do we see? Blue Planet, which is kind of a Cirque-style show. That was good as well. And we also went to some of the comedy shows, stopped at the jazz bar. There's always something going on.
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you this then. During the sea days you had on your Caribbean cruise, how was the outside? I guess how was the ship while the ship was at sea with, it holds like 5,800 people, 5,200 people. Could you tell there was that many people on board?
Not really. It's so huge. there was plenty of space, and there's plenty of different venues where you can go hang out. I really enjoyed the wraparound. I love a promenade deck. It's ideal for walking, and it actually connects to the gym, mm-hmm. so you can do your laps, and or you can run as well. There's a track both for runners and walkers, and go upstairs. But even there on sea days, there were not too many people out on that promenade deck. So I went to the pool with my friends who enjoy the pool a mm-hmm. lot more than I do.
Right.
And they always found seats, and even though there were enough people there, I never really felt crowded. So that was a good thing for me.
Very good. Do you have any first-time tips for folks who may be considering or who are traveling on Allure of the Seas?
I would definitely go to the Royal Caribbean website and look at the deck plan.
Mm-hmm.
And just get an idea of where everything is, just because it's such a huge ship. Even at the end, I had a look at the deck plans on board, and there are interactive boards,
right.
so you can see where you are and see where you want to go, you know, and see who's serving dinner. So that was very helpful for me.
Very good. She is the editor at tripwitch.com, Teresa Russell. You can find that at tripwich.com. We'll also link to that in this week's show notes. Teresa, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening on Cruise Radio.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Doug. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for checking out this week's episode of Cruise Radio. Don't forget, we have a Cruise Radio Live app found both in the iTunes and Android markets, so download that. And if you like the show, feel free to go to cruiseradio.net/iTunes and give us a review. From the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Doug Parker, and this is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is recorded weekly at the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Download the Cruise Radio app. Hear Cruise Radio on TuneIn Radio, the Stitcher Radio Network, iTunes, CruiseAddicts.com, and on our website at CruiseRadio.net. For advertising opportunities, email sales@CruiseRadio.net. I'm your announcer.
Still haven't gotten your travel fix? Then check out the Weekend Travel Show. Search the Weekend Travel Show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the TuneIn Radio app.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.